Nehemiah 8. One of the things that I think is a burden, and I'll say is a burden for me. I think it's a burden for every pastor, but I'll just say for me because I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. And that burden is this, is that collectively as a body of believers that we would learn to listen to the word and respond, to obey, to follow through with the word. Now, the difficulty is the, you know, just to be frank, we live in a very consumer-driven culture, all right? Many times, unfortunately, within the context of the church, we perceive the church to be very similar to the products that we are interested in. So whatever the consumers at large are buying into, that's what we want. We want what the consumers at large are accepting or doing, and we'll go from there. That's just what we're interested in. And thus, programs within the context of the church become very significant, right? If the programs aren't right, well, I'm not going to stay around because I don't like the programs. You see the consumer mentality. And what the burden for me is, what the burden, I think for other pastors, what the burden is that we learn to respond to the Word and do what the Word instructs us to do. And it doesn't matter really what we have done or where we have been or how we have done this or how we have done that or the fact that someone else is doing this. Well, that's not relevant necessarily because we do what we do based on the Word. So what I want us to see is an example tonight of God's people, Israel, responding to the Word. And I want you to see what is the precursor to the response. All right? And then I want to give you a couple challenges and we will try and be done on time. And if you were here a couple Sunday nights ago, I'm not going to do that again. All right? I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. It's a great story. Look down at verse 1. I'm going to skip a couple verses with lots of names for sake of time. Me sounding them out takes us longer, so let's just go. Verse 1, and we'll skip through verse 5 and a couple others. Here we go. Verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. So, the people gather, and the people say to Ezra, the scribe, the preacher, hey, can you get the book out? Can you get Moses' law out? And can you, in essence, explain it to us, expound it to us, so that we understand how we are supposed to rightly relate to God? Verse 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Man, that is a good audience. I would love that audience, right? What preacher wouldn't? Before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They listened. They were intently listening. They were passionate about hearing it. They were excited. It was evident. The author notices the excitement of the people as he's interacting, as they're listening to Ezra read the law. Verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. For what purpose? For him to stand on, so that he could proclaim or read or declare to them, explain the word. And beside him stood all of these guys with very, very good names. Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen. Amen, with lifting up their hands. But they didn't just lift up their hands. Look at what else they did. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they reverenced themselves. They got down on their hands and their knees and they bowed before their God. Verse 7, again, lots of wonderful names. These are all Levites, the middle of the verse, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. And now he gives, in a sense, a recap of what happened. Listen carefully to the recap. Listen to what he says. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. All right. So what does that mean exactly? What was going on as they read this and did it distinctly and caused the people to understand? What was happening? All right. Here's what I think was happening. The idea of reading it distinctly is to explain it. They read it and explained parts that probably were difficult for the congregation, all of the people as a whole, to comprehend. So they're walking through the law, and as they come to sections that were difficult or hard, they would explain those sections and cause them to understand. The idea of causing them to understand is imparting or giving insight. In a sense, he gave application. Here's the law. Here's what it says. Here's how it should impact what you do. Now, oftentimes, in theory, and I understand we could debate this tonight because this is the nature of our consumerism. Okay? We could debate what I'm going to say. But what I want you to understand is when a man steps into the pulpit to preach, in a sense, he is telling us this is what God says. If he's not, he needs to be careful, because Jeremiah 23 warns the false prophets. It warns the people who are saying, thus says the Lord, and that's not really what God said. God addresses that. So that happens. It happened in Jeremiah's day. It happens in our day. I get that. I'm not arguing for that. This is what I'm arguing for. When a man who really has done his work steps into the pulpit and says, look, this is what God says, we should respond. We should respond. Now, the natural response for many of us is to do exactly what James 1 talks about. What do we do? Well, the challenge is, let every man be swift to hear, you be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Those three things all relate to hearing and interacting with the Word of God. Not just personally, but corporately. It's our corporate response. So when we hear the Word, are we quick to hear? Are we slow to speak? Are we slow to say, nah, that's not what that means. No, I don't like that. No, I don't think that's, I think that that's not the way I want to interpret that. You know, again, within our consumer culture, we have this idea that, well, I know as much as the person that's up there talking. Certainly I do, right? And that's one of the distinctives of being a Baptist, right? The priesthood of every individual believer, right? But the reality is, there is a sense in which an elder, a pastor, has trained to do what he's doing, right? Now, I want you to consider this for a second. Most of you in this room do something for a living, right? You do something somewhere for a living, whether it's you work with money or you design things or you sell things or whatever the case may be. You do something, right? Now, I want you to imagine today that I start coming to your place of employment, right? I start showing up where you work. And I start coming faithfully for 2 hours a week. Okay? Well, you're there quite a bit, right? Hopefully you're there more than 2 hours, or you don't make much. So I start showing up 2 hours a week, right? Here I am. I'm here 2 hours a week. And then I get a manual. The manual says everything there is to know about whoever you are, your particular job, right? I take the manual. I take it home. A few weeks later, I show up. I say, you know what? I've been watching what you're doing. I don't think you're doing that right. I don't think that's the way you should do that. I don't think that's the right application from what I read in the book. Well, not to be mean, but who knows more about it, you or me? Probably you, right? Probably you. Now, what we have to be cautious of, and the reason we have to be cautious of it, is cults are formed from people sitting in a congregation saying, you know what? I've come up with this new great thing, this great interpretation, right? That's how we have Jehovah's Witnesses today. That's how we have Mormons. Somebody came up with a unbelievable interpretation about something. Why? Well, in the Mormons' case, the founder did not like the doctrine of eternal punishment. He was against that and formed his theology based on his dislike of that doctrine. So collectively, we as a body have to be careful that we don't decide, this is what I think. This is my interpretation. This is what I like. This is my thing that I hang on to. This is my agenda item, right? Because the reality is every one of us in this congregation could have one of those, couldn't we? I mean, really, if all of us bring our backgrounds and our issues and our marriages and our kids, if we all bring that to the table, we could all come up with a lot of different, this is the thing, right? So we've got to be careful that we are listening to the Word, that we are accepting the Word. Now, let's step away from that for a second. That doesn't mean you don't go do some homework, right? That doesn't mean you don't go do some homework. What that does mean is that you don't follow that homework up with letters or conversations or whatever, right, that say, this is crazy, this is ludicrous, we totally disagree with this, right? Why? Well, first of all, it's not right, it's not biblical, right? We understand that, right? But second of all, what kind of bond does that form within the body? A solid one? No, probably not, right? That doesn't probably form a very solid bond. You know, one of the things as Pastor Cook walked through Romans 12 and the body life, what the body's supposed to look like, one of the ones that jumped out to me, and it jumped out to me because of the way he said it. But one of the marks, or one of the things, the characteristics that's supposed to happen within the body is that you and I have a low opinion of our opinion, right? And what that means is this. I'm not quick to get into it with somebody over something that, really, is it really that big of a deal? I mean, really? We need to be more ready to hear the Word and obey than we are ready to listen critically and say, I don't like that. I don't think that's what that means. I don't think we should have to do that. I don't think we should have to respond to the Word like was suggested, right? All right, let's look now at the result. What happens? Verses 9 through 12. People are mourning, they're weeping, they're commanded, stop that. Don't do that anymore. Let's rejoice. Rejoice in God. God's rescued us. God's done great things. Look down at verse 13. Day 2. Day number 2. Look what he says. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. Again, they are passionate to hear and to understand the words of the law. That's what they're after. Look what happens, verse 14. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses and the children of Israel, should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. So guess what people did? Verse 16, they did exactly what verse 15 says. The law said, the word said, do this. And so guess what? They went and did it. Verse 16. Verse 17, I want you to see. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths. All of them. Everyone in the congregation obeyed. He goes on. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, Joshua, the son of Nun, since his day unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. Okay, now remember, we've got Joshua. He takes over after Moses leads the people out of captivity from Egypt. That was a long time ago. 1,200 years potentially. Maybe if you take a different date, it's 800. But somewhere between 8 and 1,200 years, they have not done this. Talk about tradition. That's longer than 50, isn't it? Yeah, it's a lot longer. But I want you to see the end, verse 17. Look what it says. And there was very great gladness. Folks, listen to me tonight. There is nothing that brings greater joy and satisfaction than yielding ourselves to the Word. There is nothing that fulfills like obeying and following what God says. Making what God says the main thing. Make the main thing the main thing. What is the main thing? Christ. Make Christ preeminent. Thus, our study on Colossians on Sunday morning. Make Christ supreme in everything you do. In every interaction at church. In every interaction away from church. In every interaction with your spouse. In every interaction with your fellow employees at work, with your kids. Make Christ supreme. That's the main thing. And I'll be honest with you, if we keep the main thing the main thing, a lot of other peripheral things, they'll fall into place. They'll be where they're supposed to be. Unfortunately, for some of us, in our minds, our thing, our issue, our item is so significant, we're not going to let it go. And we are going to beat it into the ground if it kills us or every other person we interact with. Whoever goes first, well, so be it. Because that issue is just that important. Now, for some of us, we think in our minds, when I say that, what do you think in your mind? For most of us, this is what we think. Yep, so-and-so, I can't see them. Maybe they're not here tonight. Man, I wish they were here tonight. Right? No, that's a tendency for all of us. That's a tendency for me. But the reality is, what happened with these people is they all obeyed. They didn't look down the row. They didn't look down the street and say, man, I hope that guy over there obeys. They all went and obeyed. And collectively, corporately, the entire group did what God wanted them to do. And they all were glad. They all were fulfilled. They all rejoiced. Why? Because they obeyed God. And folks, that is, and again, I think I can say collectively, that is every pastor's longing. Just to have people who want to hear the word and they want to obey God and then they want to rejoice because it's that good. It's just that good to obey God. It's that good to hear his word and submit and to yield and to follow and to do what God says. So the issue for us is this. Will we relinquish? Will we let go of our thing? You may say, my thing's not as big as the the big thing somebody else is trying to do. That's not the point. The point is, will we let go of our thing? Will we let go of our thing and rejoice in God's goodness? Rejoice in obeying God. Nothing fulfills like that. Nothing. We say it to our kids, but do we live it? Are you living that tonight?